Maybe it's a difficult neighbor or a rude waiter, but whatever the case, it's important that we love one another. And in today's broadcast, we're going to talk about why. Why should we love one another? Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen, and welcome to Grace in Focus, a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series, and we're going through the little New Testament book of 1 John. It's a small book, but it has big implications. I think you'll see what I mean. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead us through the discussion. But before we jump to that, I want to tell you about a free resource. It's called The Epistles of John. It's a free ebook available for you. And I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you how to get your hands on that. Until then, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're continuing our series going through the epistles of John. We're in 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 20. I don't know if we need to kind of sum up what has gone on so far, but maybe I can just say this. 1 John is all about living the Christian life. After you've believed in Jesus for eternal life, what do you do next? How can you have a close relationship with God, fellowship with God? How can you abide in Him? Fellowship and abiding are two big words in 1 John. Here's what he says in 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So that happens all the time, right? I mean, anyone in pastoral counseling knows that you'll have Christians coming to them saying, this person is just, oh, I just can't stand this person.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Well, we've seen this earlier when we talked about Cain and Christ. Don't be like Cain who killed his brother. Be like Christ who laid down his life. But the point here is that love is the mark of Christian maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be hating others in the body of Christ and at the same time loving God.
If someone presents themselves as spiritual, like, oh, I love God. Oh, I love him. And by the way, did you hear what so-and-so said? If they're attacking and sniping at other, that's a sign that they're not what they're making themselves out to be.
Exactly. Remember in 1 John 4:17-19, the verses immediately before this, we talked about the fact that at the believer's day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, the key is, has love been matured in us?
Mm-hmm.
So now John's explaining that more.
Right.
Okay, if it's mature in us, then we're loving the brethren.
Right.
It's a lie to say, I love God if I'm hating my brother.
Right. He makes kind of an argument from the greater to the lesser. If you claim to love God, whom we haven't seen, but you don't love your brother who we do see, then you're deceiving yourself. You're a liar.
Right.
You're a liar. So verse 21 continues, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Right. Same idea being developed.
I mean, this is the big, when someone asked Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? This is what he said. You love God, and then you love your neighbor. Those
right.
are the two big commandments.
Right.
And that's just what John's repeating here. He's not making up anything new. He continues in chapter 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him.
Okay, now that sounds a little confusing.
It does sound confusing, the New King James.
The one who begot is the one who causes the new birth, that's God. The one who is begotten is the one who is born again, that's the believer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what John is answering here is, okay, who's my brother?
Right.
Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's my brother.
Right.
Well, what does it mean, Jesus is the Christ? Well, doesn't believing that Jesus is the Christ mean that he's God's anointed one, that he's the promised Messiah? Actually, in John's writing, it means a bit more than that.
Right.
It means that he's the one who guarantees everlasting life to me.
Right.
Because I believed in him.
Right.
Life is connected with believing Jesus is the Christ. So the point here is anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the life giver.
Right.
Well, that person is my brother. That's the person I need to love. And it doesn't mean we don't love unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
But the primacy is on the believer. And Paul said the same thing in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith.
We only have limited resources. And if we're not taking care of our own family first, then there's something hypocritical about it.
Right. Scripture says if we don't take care of our own family, then we're worse than an unbeliever, or old King James, an infidel.
Right.
Right? That's talking about our physical family, but here John is talking about our spiritual family.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be easy to love everybody in your own local church, but that's your calling.
Right.
And so if you have a problem with somebody in the local church, that's something to pray about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's something to say, God, change my attitude. And if you need to, go and talk with the leadership and say, I need you to help me here.
Right. I was just preaching through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, and that's all about unity in the local church. High importance for God. And part of that unity is being gentle and humble and patient with each other. And I think John would say it's also about loving each other. All right, we go on in chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments.
Right. Every one of God's commandments is consistent with loving God and loving our fellow man. The two greatest commandments, Jesus said. His commandments fit in perfectly with that. You're not going to find a commandment that's causing you to hate your brother.
Right.
You're not going to find a commandment that causes you to hate God. They all fit together.
And by the way, if someone claims to be spiritually mature and they're neglecting the local church and they never go to church, they're all on their own. How are they able to fulfill this perfected love? How are they able to live this out? It seems to me like they can't.
We do have people like that today, but in my opinion, at the very least, they should have a house church, mm-hmm. meet in their own home with their own family, love one another. But Christianity is a corporate faith.
Absolutely.
We're to grow together. Remember Hebrews 10, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right. as is the habit of some. It mm-hmm. was even occurring in the first century. But let's encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day coming, the judgment seat of Christ coming.
You were made to be part of a family. So if you can't find a good Bible church that preaches grace in your neighborhood, start a house church or move. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That makes sense. His commandments tell us what it means to love. But now look at the second part of verse 3, and His commandments are not burdensome. Well, when I have someone, a real stinker in my congregation, I'm supposed to love that guy. It could get pretty hard to do that. So what does that mean, it's not burdensome?
Okay, I think the point of His commandments are not burdensome is this. The inner person, the born of God part of us, if you can think of it that way, the eternal person within us that's going to obey Christ fully, that person wants to please God in all we do, right?
Right.
And so when it says His commandments are not burdensome, it's like we want to do that. Now, we may be having trouble doing it, which is why we need to pray about it. Mm-hmm. We may need to seek counseling, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, they're not burdensome. They're not contrary to our nature. They're completely consistent with what some people call our new nature.
And again, I think John is speaking about the mindset of the spiritually mature person.
Right.
A spiritually mature person does not find these commands, but he delights in them. He wants to do them. So his focus is on Jesus and loving Jesus.
Right. If a person is finding the commandments are something they don't want to fulfill,
mm-hmm.
that they are burdensome to them in the sense they're inconsistent with their worldview,
uh-huh.
then that's a person who's in the spiritual far country like the prodigal son in Luke 15. That's a person who's not walking in fellowship with God.
Right.
But if the person is saying, look, that's what I want to do, I'm just having trouble, well, then that's a person who has the right desire, the right mindset. They just need to grow more.
Right, but you need to be changed first.
Right.
You know, you need to be born again first. There's a lot of religions that are going to put these things on you as conditions of salvation. They're going to put these things on unregenerate people and say, do it so that you'll get saved from hell at the last judgment. But that gets things all out of order here. This is presuming that you've believed in Jesus for eternal life, that you're born again, and now you're growing to spiritual maturity so that as you become spiritually mature, it should be easy to love people.
Right.
Right? Just as Jesus loved people. All right, let's continue. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God, this links into what you just said, Bob, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So what is this born of God?
Yeah, some people confuse this section in 1 John, especially verses 4 and 5, and they think that what John is saying is all believers are overcomers. All believers are victorious. All believers are spiritually mature. Well, that doesn't fit 1 John. He's already said that we need to abide in Him. so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. 1 John 2:28. Although the readers are mature, he's writing to people who are probably men who are elders in local churches. We know this from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, when he talks about how strong they are, how mature they are. But the truth is, even they could fall back. And so he encourages them to continue. In fact, we sing a song at our church called Faith is the Victory. In order to remain victorious in our Christian lives, in order for us to be overcomers, which is a theme in Revelation 2 and 3 in the seven letters to the seven churches, we need to continue to believe in Christ, and we need to continue to walk by faith in Christ. And so I think what he's saying here is, when we came to faith in Christ, we began to experience that which leads to victory in the Christian life, which is faith. So let's look at both 4 and 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That is the born of God part of us. As long as we're living by faith, it overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, in order to have victory day by day, you must walk by faith. You cannot somehow take your eyes off Christ and experience spiritual victory. A lot of people talk about living at the foot of the cross. If you want to have victory in your Christian life, look to Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. We love him because he first loved us.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion. I hope these words have encouraged you today. In fact, if you'd like to be encouraged further, I've got a suggestion for you. We have a free resource available on our website, which is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's called The Epistles of John, and it's a short commentary that'll help you walk through some of these difficult verses that we find in the New Testament book of 1 John. And as an added bonus, it also covers 2 and 3 John. Now, this is not the only free resource we have on faithalone.org. In fact, we have a free print magazine, full color. It shows up in your mailbox. You can get subscribed to that right now on the website. We've got teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts. We get a lot of visitors on our website, and there's a good reason why, because we offer a lot for free. So I'd encourage you to come by and take advantage of everything that we're making available. In addition to this, you can find out information about upcoming events. We do Bible conferences around the country. Maybe you'd like to join us for one. You can find information about that. And if you'd like to partner with us, you can do that through the website. Any tax-deductible gift that you see fit to give, we would very much appreciate. It helps us continue the work that we're currently doing. Maybe you've got questions or feedback, even comments. If that's the case, I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about assurance, but in an interesting way. So I hope you'll tune in for that tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.